After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that those seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by love's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in and see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken from them. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's words and put it into practice."
Yeah, awesome, great. Yeah, it's been a while since I've preached here, but we've spent like a really big chunk of time looking at the book of 2 Corinthians. It was a bit of a trek, wasn't it? There's a lot of kind of complicated things in there, but Carl did such a great job of helping us dive into that book together. Did such a great job of leading us through that. Really thankful to Carl for helping set our eyes on the hope that we have in Jesus. Helping remind us of the importance of holding to the gospel, of having the gospel at the center of our lives and being the thing that we hold out to others for life as well. But this morning we're jumping back into a series that we started, I think, at the end of last year's when we started this series on Luke. Now we're diving back into that this morning, looking at Luke chapter 8. And as we kind of get into this, I just have a few questions. I was taking a bit of a trip down memory lane. I just want to ask a few questions. Does anyone remember, it's an important one, what a Tamagotchi is? A few people, there's a couple of hands, all right. Does anyone remember what Angry Birds is? Yeah, there's a few. Does anyone remember Gangnam Style? Does anyone want to come up and Carl, do you want to come up and No. Who remembers the Ice Bucket Challenge? Yeah, the Ice Bucket Challenge, remember that. Okay, what about the dress that was either white and gold or blue and black, depending on how you saw it? Everyone remembers that. Okay, the final one, hacky sacks. Yeah, everyone remembers those. Okay, here's the last question. What do all of these things have in common? What do all of them have in common? The answer is that they're all trends of the past that have come and gone. All come and gone. There's a bit of a resurgence every now and again, but in the end, they're just trends of the past replaced by newer and more popular trends. They used to make you smile. Now some of them kind of make you cringe a little bit. Now, I wonder if with the decline of Christianity in the Western world, in Australia, if the way that you feel sometimes is that Christianity is just a trend of the past, one that's lasted an especially long time, but is now being replaced with newer and fresher ideas. I wonder if you feel like maybe people cringe a little bit if you say that you're a Christian, or if you say that you're investigating Christianity. We live in what's kind of known as post-Christendom West, and it could be easy to think, couldn't it, that it was good while it lasted, but maybe it's time to kind of move on, or maybe change up our message a little so more people kind of respond to it, you know. But this passage we've read today, it makes us pause in our assessment of where things are at and how we should actually respond. I hope that what we see this morning is that the good news of Jesus, the message of Jesus, it's not a trend of the past, it's the light of salvation, so keep listening. The good news of Jesus isn't a trend of the past, it's the light of salvation, so keep listening. Now, there's this thing I do at home when it's time to go to bed where I'll forget to turn on my bedside lamp, and then I'll switch off the light to the bedroom at the door, and then kind of need to navigate my way to the bed in darkness, never really knowing where the danger's going to be. Like, am I going to stub my toe? I don't know. Am I going to trip over and whack my head on the cupboard? Like, maybe. Am I going to fall into bed and headbutt Georgina by accident? Probably. It's happened before. But if the light stays on and I can see those things, well, I'm going to be careful not to stub my toe. I'm going to be careful not to trip and whack my head. I'm going to be careful not to fall into bed and headbutt George by accident. But only if I can see by what the light reveals to me, instead of blindly wandering around and hoping for the best. Hopefully the passage is going to come up on the screen behind me. Luke 8, verse 16 to 21. Well, in these verses, Jesus emphasizes carefully considering what the light of God's word reveals to us and then putting it into practice. Considering what the light of God's word reveals to us and then putting it into practice. That's what he means in verse 18 by saying, consider carefully how you listen. This is in light of God's word being like a lamp that reveals the truth, both the comfortable truths and the very uncomfortable truths about who we are and how we are to live in God's world. So consider what God's word is revealing to you. And in verse 21, Jesus says, when his mother and brothers are trying to find him, Jesus says, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. See, we are to carefully consider what God's word reveals to us and then put it into practice. Now, Jesus finishes verse 18 up there by saying that whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken away from them. It's another way of saying, I think, that if you listen, well, you will benefit in this life and the life to come as you follow Jesus and do what he says. But if you don't listen, well, you run the risk of losing everything. Even those things in this life that you think you have gained will be lost. See, this isn't a passage to switch our brains off of. Verses 1 to 21, even though especially the parable of the sower might be pretty familiar to many of us. And it's because Jesus' message, the good news of Jesus, is not just a trend of the past. It's the light of salvation. So we need to keep listening. Jesus emphasizes in the parable he shares, the parable of the sower, that different people respond to his message in different ways and for different reasons, as the seed falls in all sorts of different environments, as Jonathan said at the start. But the response he is looking for is the response he's been calling for all along, that we trust in him, that we do what he says. Now, Luke's gospel is all about certainty. I don't know if you remember when we started this series, but we read in the very first four verses that Luke wrote this account of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection after carefully investigating everything he heard from eyewitnesses and servants of Jesus. And he did that in Luke chapter 1, verse 4. He writes to his friend Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. See, Luke writes his gospel that we might have certainty in who Jesus is. And chapter 8 shows us that we can have certainty that Jesus' message is not just a trend of the past, it's the light of salvation, so keep listening. If you have an outline in front of you, you'll see the first point says head knowledge versus heart knowledge. As I said, Jesus shares a parable in verse 4 to 8, then explains it in verse 11 to 15. Now, a parable is like a bit like a riddle that contains great truth in it about God's kingdom. And Jesus shares this parable with truth in it about God's kingdom to reinforce the importance of not just listening, but actually responding to Jesus' message by putting it into practice. He says it like this in verse 15. The seed on good soil stands for those with a noble, or a better translation is an honest and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Those who have God's word planted deeply in their hearts hear God's word and put it into practice. This is the person who listens to God's word, who retains it, meaning that they trust in what God says and they put it into practice. Now, what might this kind of response to God's word look like? Well, Luke has already given us an example of what it looks like for Jesus' message to either just stay in someone's head and roll around in there, or for it to take root in someone's heart. He does that in Luke chapter 7, the passage directly before this one. Now, in this passage, we meet a Pharisee, or a teacher of the law, who was someone with a high standing in society, who hears Jesus' message and is really intrigued by what he's hearing. But that's about where it ends. He invites Jesus in much the same way someone might invite an interesting lecturer to come and speak at a university as a once-off. But while Jesus is at this man's house, someone from the lowest and darkest place in society comes to Jesus. And she's only known as a sinner and a woman of the city in Luke chapter 7. And you can use your imagination as to why she might be referred to that way. Now, whereas this Pharisee extends to Jesus an invitation to come into his home as a bit of a spectacle, to kind of question and put on display, the woman runs to Jesus because she has heard his invitation. An invitation to stop living under the guilt and shame of her sin and to come and find forgiveness, to come and find peace at the feet of the only one who can forgive her and who can offer her peace with God. More than that, who can offer her a place forever in his kingdom. See, we meet a woman whose life is transformed from the heart outwards as she is driven to Jesus in faith, in joy, and thanksgiving. Jesus says of this woman that her great love that she is showing, she falls before him, weeping, washes his feet, pours perfume onto his feet. Her great love shows that she knows her many sins have been forgiven. In other words, here is someone who knows how great their sin is, but who knows how much greater the grace of God is, and the love for Jesus, her love for Jesus, the one who can and will save her. It's just overflowing in response. Here is someone who has gained everything because the message of Jesus has taken root in her heart. She has believed that Jesus is the one who can save her, believed that Jesus is the one to follow. So here is someone who gets it, that Jesus offers forgiveness and salvation to sinful people, people like us, free of charge. The price needing to be paid for this being his own death on the cross. But while Jesus offers forgiveness and salvation, it can only be received through faith. Jesus offers forgiveness and salvation, it can only be received through faith. Faith that Jesus alone can save, faith that Jesus alone is the one to follow and obey, and no one else. And if this is news for you this morning, you can walk out the door today in the same way that this woman did in chapter 7, forgiven and a child of God. If you trust in Jesus to deal with your sin before him. See, Jesus saves, but only if you put your trust in him as the only one who can save you. But what's the barrier that stops someone from being able to have this kind of relationship with God? What gets in the way of that? Well, in verse 9 to 10, kind of in the middle of sharing that parable and then explaining what the parable means, Jesus reveals, I think, that it's sin. It's the heart hardened by rejection of God that simply says, I don't need to listen to you, God. And Jesus reveals that it's only those who draw close to him in faith who will truly hear and respond to the salvation from sin that he offers. It's only those people who are introduced to Jesus who can hear this message and who can respond in faith. See, in verse 9 to 10, when the disciples ask Jesus what his parable means, Jesus says that the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. And it kind of sounds like, if you read that on surface level, that Jesus doesn't want anyone to really understand what he's saying. But that's not what he's saying. See, what's he saying? He's saying that the disciples are hearing the secrets to the kingdom of God, which means they're hearing Jesus reveal the plan of God's salvation through faith in Jesus, and they're hearing this because of who they seek to listen to and seek understanding from and follow, Jesus himself. But to others who might hear the same kind of teaching, the same parables that Jesus speaks that contain the secrets of the kingdom of God, they might hear the same things, but they don't draw close to him or seek understanding from him. Though they see Jesus, they don't really see who he is as God's promised Savior. Though hearing what Jesus says, they don't understand because they don't seek understanding from Jesus. They seek it elsewhere. Jesus is saying, I'm the only one who can reveal the truth of salvation to you. If you don't see me for who I am, and if you don't hear me and understand what I am saying to you, you won't be saved. And Jesus uses a quote from Isaiah here, hopefully it's on the screen behind me, to emphasize that God's judgment over humanity because of their sin or their rejection of him is that humanity has been handed over to this rejection. They will keep living in rejection of God and not listening as they want to because that is what they have chosen to do. And they will face the consequence of that, God's judgment. And it's a really bleak picture if it stays there. But if you read that chapter of Isaiah, it's Isaiah chapter 6, we also read of a promise that God makes that though his people will be seeing but not perceiving, they'll be hearing but not understanding, even though it would look like it's the end for them, God would plant a seed among his people, a seed who would grow up to be a king who can save them from God's judgment and fix the problem of their hard hearts. We start to see this in Isaiah chapter 11. We see that this king would have the Spirit of God, that this king will be able to give them understanding, that this king will be able to show the way back to relationship with God. And we find out later in Luke that he's going to do so by fixing the problem of their hard hearts. So in Luke 8, what we see there is Jesus fulfilling this role as the one who reveals the way back to God, makes that possible. Salvation is held out in Jesus, but only if you hear, repent, and believe. Jesus' parable makes us ask the question, will you listen to the only one who can save you from sin and bring you back to God? Will you do what he says? And if not, what are the kind of things that get in the way? Well, Jesus reveals that through explaining his parable. I'm just going to read verses 5 to 8 again as we come to looking at this. We read, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. In your outline, it should say in front of you, the bird, the sun, the thorns. What gets in the way? Well, firstly we read, there's the bird. Now, there's something else I kind of want to draw your attention to about verse 12, but it's to do with verse 1. In verse 1, we read about evil spirits, we read about demons that Jesus had healed people from. Now, you might get caught out on that kind of thing. It might actually stop you from wanting to keep paying attention to what we're reading here and what Jesus is saying, because you kind of lump that thing in with fairy tales. But just hang in there, because if you believe that there is evil in this world, in this physical world that we see in front of us, which I think all of us would say we do see that, I don't think any of us can really say that there isn't evil in the spiritual world as well that we can't see, but that the Bible says is there and still impacts our world in different ways, though we may not quite understand how. Now, why is this important to come back to? Well, firstly, I think because of what we read about Jesus. Jesus is someone who heals people of these evil spirits. He's someone who drives these demons out of people with the same ease that he would of swatting away a fly. And we need to think, what does this reveal about Jesus? Well, it reveals his power over evil, and it reveals that we don't need to fear evil if we've trusted in Jesus. But what becomes apparent in verse 12 is that we need to still be wary of it and understand how the devil might be working in the world today as he works against God's purposes. God's purposes of people believing and being saved. See, the bird who snatches away the seed is referred to in Jesus' explanation as the devil in verse 12. We read, "Those along the path are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved." So that they may not believe and be saved. If the one place Jesus wants his message to land in and take root in, if it's our hearts, then the one place the devil's going to seek to strike is the same place, to seek to stop people from actually receiving and hearing the gospel and it having an impact on their hearts. And this might look like any number of ways of ensuring that people can't hear God's word properly. But I think maybe here is one example that kind of comes to my mind. So imagine that someone was there with Jesus, standing right next to him, hearing Jesus speak, watching what he does, and then walking away with their friend who came with them. And their friend turns to them and says, "What did you think?" Now, this person who's heard everything Jesus says, just imagine that person responds and says, "Yeah, like I think he projects his voice pretty well, doesn't he? It was actually quite a soothing tone to listen to. It's good." And their friend kind of goes, "What about what he actually said?" And the person goes, I don't know. It kind of becomes apparent eventually this person actually has no recollection at all about anything that was said. Just didn't take anything in, nothing. Now, I think we see that kind of thing happening today in the response of indifference that happens for some when they hear the gospel or hear from God's word. Like, "Oh, well, it's a nice sounding story, I guess. I like the part about magical seeds that produce lots of fruit. Like, I wonder where to get them from. Bunnings, maybe, I don't know." This is the person who doesn't register at all that Jesus is even trying to say anything. That just kind of walks away. But secondly, there's the son. Jesus says in verse 13, "Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away." It's kind of the image of the sun withering up anything that could grow here. Now, we're pretty far from the kind of persecution that our brothers and sisters elsewhere and throughout the New Testament experienced, but I wonder if the kind of testing today might work itself out in the way it did for one person I knew when I was a young adult and at uni. A friend and I caught up with someone to read the Bible with them, and they started to respond to the message of Jesus. They said they wanted to put their faith in him. They started coming to church, coming to young adults, coming to things that we were doing at uni with the Christian group there. But then something happens. See, their really close friends who weren't Christians, they didn't do the same thing. They didn't follow. And this person hanging out with them began feeling really uncomfortable calling themselves a Christian around them. They felt that kind of squeeze as their friends lived one way and paid them out for not joining in with what they were doing. They stopped coming to church. They stopped coming to young adults. They stopped reading the Bible. They kind of dropped off the radar and just kind of fell away. Faith didn't really take root and grow in their heart. They stopped listening, as their desire to listen was withered away by the heat of their discomfort at calling themselves a Christian.
I think this is a story many of us can relate to, that many of us actually feel great heartbreak about people going through times of trials and hardship in their lives as well, and this happening. But thirdly, there's the thorn. Jesus continues in verse 14, "The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature." I think if there's one thing that will get in the way of us continuing to listen to Jesus, I think it's these things. Life's worries, like family, like career, like housing, health as well, and then children as well, and then children's future family and children's future careers and future houses and health and life's worries. And there's riches and pleasures, things that we have at our fingertips in Adelaide in the way that many others don't. Things that can become so important to us that we start listening to voices that help us get more of those things, be it money or security or power or relationships, and so cease listening to Jesus as his voice gets drowned out in our hearts because we're listening to the voices that will get us those other things. We've got the bird, the sun, the thorns, all realities as much today as they were the day that Jesus spoke them in this parable. So we need to keep listening to Jesus to see what the light of his word reveals to us. And we need to not just listen to it, but do it. That's point three in your outline, seeing and doing. Now, back at the start of this sermon, I talked about trying to find my way to bed when the light is off and how at risk I put both my feet and Georgina's head. I'm neither seeing what I'm meant to see or doing what I'm meant to be doing. What does Jesus want us to see and do? Well, he's been going from town to town trying to get people to see that we need him. And what he wants us to do is trust in him and keep following him and keep listening to him. Now, I used to live in a share house with three other guys. Okay, there's four guys in one house, all under 25. It's a terrible combination. Like, if I tried to find my way anywhere in that house without the lights on, it's not just like a stubbed toe. We're talking like I need to go to hospital and maybe get like a tetanus shot or something. Okay. Going through this life without Jesus is like walking through that share house without the lights on. It doesn't end well. When Jesus says that something's going to harm us, we need to listen and not run into it. When he says something is sinful or means living in a way that rejects God's rule in favor of our own, we need to listen and not run into that thing. When Jesus says something is good for us and will help us follow him, we need to listen and go that way, even when it's an uncomfortable truth to have to hear. Even when that might seem painful in the moment, like walking away from a relationship that is turning you away from following Jesus, or like walking away from a job or career that is turning you away from following Jesus, or walking away from another commitment in your life that is actually just turning you away from Jesus. So going through this life without him is like walking through that share house without the lights on. It's not going to end well. Even the things you think you've gained that aren't Jesus, they're all going to fade away and you'll be left with nothing. But going through this life with Jesus, it means you gain everything. It means that despite the trials and the pain and the mess of life that you will experience, you know that you have a Savior. You know that you have an eternity ahead of you with him that is free of pain, of death, of sickness, of the impact of sin. So keep listening. Point four, listening to our Savior. Now, I'd like us to spend some time privately reflecting on some questions that are going to appear on the screen. After that, we're going to sing a song in response to what we've heard as well. But the first question is this. Hopefully they're on the screen behind me, or the first question. If I am to keep listening to Jesus, the thing most likely to get in the way of that for me is, and then fill in the blank. How do you answer that question? What gets in the way? What's maybe the light of God's word is revealing something to you this morning that you need to respond to. The second question is this. Do I view Jesus as the university lecturer who is being invited to speak, Or do I view him actually as the Savior that I really need, the only one who can deal with my sin? And if it's the first, maybe ask yourself why you're responding that way. And ask, maybe am I ready to respond a different way to who Jesus is? Finally, the third question is this: how might I sow the seed of the message of Jesus in someone else's life, trusting that God is the one who brings about change in someone's heart through his word, and never me? Never me. I haven't spent a whole lot of time looking at the first three verses that were read out yet. So we read that as Jesus goes from town to town proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom, that the 12 are with him, and also a number of different women. And what are we to take from these verses? I just want you to notice and look at the different kind of people that are mentioned here. There are men and women. There are those who have been sick but have been healed by Jesus. There are those who would have been considered social outcasts, those who were rich and wealthy, well off, those who were poor, those who were held in high regard, those who were held in low regard. There was at least one even who was considered a thief and essentially scum by those around them because of their profession as a tax collector. There's this whole range of different people who are following Jesus. See, Jesus has called all of them to follow him. Jesus' message is for everyone to hear. He sows generously and indiscriminately, just like that sower picking seed out of their bag and just scattering it. See, we're not the ones who decide who and who doesn't, and who shouldn't respond to it. And we are not the ones who decide when a situation is hopeless. See, our great confidence is that God works through his word. He does work through his word, through the good news of Jesus in people's hearts, just like he did in our hearts. And our hope and prayer is that he would work that way in the hearts of others who don't know him, in the hearts of our friends and family as well. Which means we know the response to have when it seems as though the devil has snatched God's word away from someone's heart, or when trials cause someone to cease wanting to listen, or when life's worries or riches and pleasures seem to have strangled what response we thought was in someone's heart. As Jesus sowed God's word through proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom, this is what we are to do. See, our hope is in God's work in his word, through his powerful word that transforms people's hearts, that saves. As Jesus sowed indiscriminately and generously wherever he went, well, we have the same message from Jesus. We have the same seed of God's word that God has passed on to us to scatter indiscriminately and generously, praying that God's word would take root deeply in the hearts of those who hear so that they might respond in faith and receive life from Jesus. It also means that as a church, we know who we must keep listening to together. To God. Seeing in God's word what he has to show us. Knowing that God's word is what transforms our hearts. God's word is what leads us in his world as we seek to follow him and keep following him. So together we must seek to keep considering carefully what we hear in God's word and putting it into practice. See, Jesus' message is not a trend of the past that's kind of gone away that we should move on from. It's the light of salvation. So keep listening. Now I'm going to lead us in prayer in just a moment, and then we're going to spend just a couple of minutes reflecting on those questions that'll be up on the screen behind me before the band leads us in song. But for now, let me lead us in prayer as we turn to the God who transforms hearts and leads us by his word as revealed in Jesus. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you as the God who speaks to us, as a God who's not distant, as a God who, even though we had turned away from you in rejection, Lord, you sent your Son to this earth to show the way back to you, to make the way back to you possible through his death and resurrection. We praise you for this, Lord. We pray that you would be at work in our hearts, seeking to grow us in the image of your Son, helping us to say no to the things of this world that the light of your word helps us see are bad for us, helps us see don't lead to you but lead away from you. We pray that you would help us to love each other by doing this side by side, by having the uncomfortable conversation when we need to, by seeking to always point one another back to the glorious reality of who Jesus is as our Savior. glorious reality of who you are as a God who actually speaks to us and wants to be heard, and who we can come to for forgiveness, for life, for salvation forever. Amen.